Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, April 28th.
Good morning.
Hi.
You know, the great thing about this show is every morning I know what date it is.
That's true, because I know what date it was.
Now, every morning, I know what date it is.
Yeah, I figured I'd remind people, and also the people that listen in the archives, they can easily know when we did it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like an old habit, I guess, you know, but it's also to remind myself, I guess, you know. Then the rest of the day, I know what day it is,
too. Do you have to have a calendar, or do you just know?
No, I'm looking here on CNN. Because,
oh,
yeah, as I'm thinking about a million things, I don't remember.
No, I can never remember the date. When you have to sign something and date it, I'm always like, I don't know what date it is. And my watch is always wrong.
Yeah.
So I always have to look at my phone.
The phone, right.
Yeah. But I like knowing the date.
The 28th of April. Yeah, it's almost over again. May is my birthday month, and I'm trying not to think about it too much. I'm turning 54 this May. So I...
It's good. As you get old...
I guess it is. You know what? I don't see anything good about getting old. I'm sorry to say. You know, maybe a little bit of experience, okay. But it's overrated, you know? Give me youth, yeah. So...
As we look out the window, there's a billboard right beside us. And there's someone right at the very top of it.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Changing the big billboard, huh?
That's scary.
I know. What about the people that build high-rises in New York and stuff,
Oh, my goodness.
You know those pictures?
Scary job. I feel like my stomach would drop just being up there.
I know. This guy cutting the trees on my street the other day, you know, and he was climbing it and climbing it. It was like a palm tree, a really, really tall one. And they climb it and they cut the branches at the top, you know. I don't know how they're not scared, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long way up, and that means it's a long way down.
There you go. The higher they climb, the harder they fall, right?
Right?
That's what they
say. Exactly.
So, beautiful day in Southern California. We always say that.
Mm-hmm.
But back east in Arkansas, did you hear about the tornadoes?
I did.
Yeah, 16 people dead. They're saying cars flipped everywhere. I mean, if a car flips in a tornado, it's a pretty strong one.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never seen a tornado.
I know.
Thankfully. Touch
I know.
Wood.
I hope I'm not there either.
I know.
When it happens, man. Those are things that are pretty scary. But, you know, we've got our share. We got the earthquakes here.
Exactly.
You know?
Every part of America has its different natural disasters.
There you go. We're such a big country. You know,
yeah.
Everything happens everywhere, it seems. So, yeah, that's pretty scary. 16 people dead, man. Can you imagine?
No. Who knows if they got swept up in the tornado
right.
and then
Can you
dropped
imagine?
And that was how they were killed.
Wow. I know. It's like the different ways to die, you know. It's like really scary stuff, you know. So you try not to think about it too much. But
completely.
Then, yeah.
That's not – I never – oh. Because everyone has in their mind like the way that they don't want to die. And,
right. Exactly.
But
it's not up to us, right?
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately not.
I know. That's why, you know, I mean, you're happy for people that just pass away when they're sleeping,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then...
And peaceful. And you know that there was no hurt for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And it's just simple. There's no preparation for the death. You just kind of go and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the way everybody hopes to be.
Definitely.
You know, or if it's an accident, it's got to be a fast one, you know? Just like... Let it happen and that's it.
Oh, it's not. Let's talk about something.
You don't want to talk about death, okay.
did you hear about Donald Sterling, what he said? He's the owner of the Clippers.
I've heard something's going on and I saw his pictures a million times on Facebook, but I didn't stop to read. Tell us what happened.
So he was recorded his girlfriend with a conversation with his girlfriend, and then the speculation, because some reports said his girlfriend released the footage, whereas the lawyer said his girlfriend didn't. Okay. But I mean, how else would the media get this record? It's an hour-long conversation. Wow. Of Sterling pretty much grilling his girlfriend, her last name is Stiviano, about... It all started because she had a picture with Magic Johnson on her Instagram. And okay. He's saying, I don't want you posting pictures with black people. I don't want you associating with them, bringing them to my games. Obviously, this is a huge deal. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's a racist. And right. I mean, I think it's 80% of the NBA is African American.
That's true.
So it's a huge deal, and everyone, and now more and more is being released from the recording and the Clippers. I mean, this happened Friday. Uh-huh. The Clippers played Sunday in the fourth game of the playoffs against the Golden State Warriors, and they were just, I mean, the first quarter, they were down like something like 22 points with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. They were just off completely. But it's got to take such a toll on you when you have, like, I mean, there was only one white person on the field, on the court, which is Blake Griffin.
Right.
And everyone else, and the coach, even the coach said in the press conference after, I didn't do my job. I let it get to me, and I didn't coach my players. I took it personally, what he said.
Right.
And just think, I mean, this is just huge.
Yeah.
Not even just for the NBA, but just for the world. Somebody in the public eye who owns such a big, I mean, I think there's 30 owners, but he's the biggest, he owns the most shares.
Stakeholder, right.
So technically he's the owner. But for him to say so many controversial things, and now, and then they did a... they all walked out on the court with their uniforms on, but they all took off their shirts as they were warming up that said Clippers on it.
Oh, really?
As like a statement.
Yeah.
And there was rumors that they weren't going to play and they were just going to sit on the bench and forfeit the game. But then I watched a lot of SportsCenter and ESPN and a lot of stuff this weekend. And a lot of the newscasters were saying that's what they should have done. I don't believe that they should have done that because... Ooh. This is their game. This is their tournament. They're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for Sterling. Like, yeah, it does benefit him if they do well, but this is their sport and this is what they love to do.
Right.
They'd also be jeopardizing themselves and doing not what they want to do if they didn't play.
Right. Plus they get paid to play.
I think they would still be okay if they didn't, because they would just be forfeiting and the Warriors would have won that game.
Right.
Which
but
they
their
won
employer,
anyway.
The employer, which is the Clippers, could really reprimand them because they get paid for that. And
well,
you know,
I think everyone's
there's a lot of money riding on that.
Yeah, you know? But I think everyone is for them right now. And no one's for, like, everyone's getting involved. Magic Johnson, put out a statement, and so many people have, because it's just, this is a bigger thing than just basketball now, because it's such a controversial topic that he's been recorded saying.
Right. Now, why do people get recorded when they talk? And especially with his wife.
That's the thing. Well, this is his girlfriend.
His girlfriend.
His mistress.
Okay.
He's technically still married, but they've been parted for a while. And his wife had to release a statement of that him and his kids, like her and their kids, don't agree with him. They don't agree with what he's saying. And that's also tough for her because she was at the game on Sunday. So she was getting bombarded with media saying, what do you think about this? Technically, she doesn't have anything to do with him anymore. But because she has the same last name, obviously she's tied to him. But I don't know. Personally, I think that the girlfriend must have had some kind of link with someone and got paid to... Obviously, she's been paid.
So you think the girlfriend... sort of like trapped him?
I don't know why else that it would have been recorded and been leaked.
Right.
I mean, if you and me have a conversation...
gets freaking recorded, you know? People
but
record
if
everything.
If we have a conversation...
Right.
Unless one of us release it...
Right.
How can... There's
how
no
can
way that
know?
Someone can tap into the... Well, I mean, there is ways, but why would somebody know to tap into that exact conversation right then?
Right.
Unless she tips somebody off that, oh, and we're going to be talking about this.
Right.
So either way,
she's
kind of in the wrong, but it's just a huge, I mean, huge deal.
Yeah, I guess.
That now, and now the Clippers have to deal with this when they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You could just totally see on Sunday that they were not okay. And I'm going to the game tomorrow at the Staples Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's going to be really interesting to see that would be nice. Well, it's just going to be interesting to see the dynamic in the stadium because with all this happening, this is the first game back at the Staples Center. It's crazy. I don't know. Just in this day and age for something like this, something racial, like racial discrimination, anything to do, it's just, I feel like we should be just way past it.
Yeah.
Everyone's equal.
Yeah, well, yeah, a lot of people don't think that way. Yeah. But I think younger generations are different. You know, I don't think they really see color like the kids of today.
You know?
So, and millennials and things like that. So I think it's changing. These are like the old guard, you know, he's an old man and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but you mentioned something like 80% of the NBA is black. Is that like a fact?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because, you know, they get discriminated in so many
different
things. I don't
know if it's that exact number, but it's high.
Right.
I know it might be 75. It's very high.
Yeah, it is.
I think the height, their power, because it's kind of like that in the NFL too.
Right. No, I know in most sports.
Yeah.
And then in baseball, it's not.
But you don't have to be as powerful. I mean, it's a different kind of sport. Baseball is more. Yeah, you have to be fast if you're a batter, but I mean it's just different. You have to be agile and you have to be super strong.
Right, but white people can be that too, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think saying anything about that would sound racist, you know? And that's the thing.
True.
Is that, you know, but the thing is I think maybe many people agree, or maybe it's just a fact that you know, black people in certain sports are better. I don't have a reason why, but apparently it is so, you know, because
I don't think
there's so many.
Right.
And, you know, and usually they get discriminated against. So obviously here there's no such thing for the most part, you know, other than owners like this that talk like that. But perhaps there's something in what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. And apparently even if you type in his name, even before this, Donald Sterling on Google, racism comes up here and there. And
wow.
I mean, he's had parties where it was like an all white party in his Malibu mansion, and he would be the only one dressed in black.
Really?
And he would be going around saying things to the players. And so it's been a topic that everyone has known, I think, that he is racist. But I think when something like this comes out, it's always going to be a huge thing and something really hard to deal with, and it sucks for the Clippers that it's right in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because they're not going to be able to fully concentrate because they don't believe the person that they're playing for doesn't believe in them. And
they don't want to support him and things like that. Yeah, but I think it'd be a huge deal if they forfeit the games or just sort of like lose on purpose or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think they're losing on purpose. I think they have too much heart for that. And now they're even. Because people are saying that Donald Sterling should sell. He shouldn't be allowed to be part of this. But if he sells, he bought it for a couple million dollars. If he sells, it'll be close to $1 billion that he can sell.
Really?
And it's like he's winning in any way.
Yeah.
So nothing seems fair.
Yeah.
Was it a publicity stunt? Maybe. But and is now he going to be have to, is he going to be forced to sell?
Yeah.
Possibly.
See,
but he's still walking away laughing because he's making all the money.
That's true, yeah. But he's also not popular, and that's not a great thing to be. But yeah, I'm still like wondering how this whole recording happened. You know, it's really like suspicious for me.
Definitely. And TMZ was the first one to get it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to talk to her. Her name is Annie Brooke, and it sounds pretty interesting here, so we're going to talk to her about that, and a lot going on. How was your weekend? Did you have a busy weekend?
No, I had such a relaxing weekend.
Really? Yeah, you said
so
you were watching sports.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Watching sports, went for a walk on the beach yesterday. It was
nice.
So nice to first weekend back in town for a while. So
yeah.
How was yours?
Mine was relaxing too. You know, I can't argue with that. You know, I really wanted to go to that burlesque show on Friday, but the Fridays just don't work out for me.
Right.
And they always have them on Friday nights. You know, So, and I always say I'm really going to try, but it didn't happen this week. But they're pretty fun girls, huh? They were here
on
Friday.
They were really fun girls. Yeah.
And they're on the show. Tease If You Please is the name of the show.
I really want to go.
Yeah, I know.
I really, and they were both just nice girls.
Right.
Really nice girls.
Yeah, and pretty. And they got some awesome bodies. I mean, they weren't showing them off, but I've seen them on Facebook and stuff. Or actually, we have a picture with Donna from the last appearance on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, this was her second time on the show. And I think at that time she brought like a... like her belly was exposed to something. And I just went, wow, you know. So, yeah. But she says you don't have to have a perfect body to do that. But I can't imagine why not. You know?
And when you're doing because you're exercising so much and you have to practice so much.
Right.
That I feel like you would be in great shape anyway.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I know.
Because that's what I need to do. I need to get into something like that, dancing or something that I enjoy again. Because swimming, I went swimming one day last week and I was exhausted for the rest of the day.
Oh, really?
I was so tired.
Because you're out of shape at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it completely beat. It was Thursday and all I wanted to do was go to bed right after.
Wow.
I went swimming at like 3 and for the rest of the night, I was just counting down till I could go to sleep.
Wow.
Because I was so tired.
Whoa.
It's like, wow, Charlotte, you are out of shape. But I need something that I enjoy. I was into yoga for a while, but... kind of went off that.
Yeah.
I go in phases of like things I enjoy, and then I'm like, no, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, so then you discover new things and you do those. Yeah, why not?
But dancing, and they have these classes. It's like bar fitness or something, and it's a bar, and you are like dancing and balancing on these bars.
Oh, okay.
And that sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, they have like pole dancing too and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and things like that. You know. But I
got
to tell you, you know, I mean, where was it? I think this is like video. There was a video on Facebook or something with a fat girl doing a pole dance. And, you know, they say, no, you don't have to have a perfect body to do that or at least to go to classes and do this. But you know what? I got to admit, you know, you look at an overweight woman doing this, it looks funny. It doesn't look attractive, okay? So.
Well, there's nothing better than a beautiful girl that's... like Donna,
right.
In beautiful shape, dancing like that. And
right.
It's stunning, and it's kind of more of an art
right.
When somebody in gorgeous shape. And
yeah, you know, and it just, you know, I mean, some people don't look the part, you know, period. Mm-hmm. Anyway, our guest is calling in, so let's go ahead and pick up the line. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello? Annie? Okay.
Uh-oh.
Let me see if something's going on here. But no. Annie, can you hear us? No? Okay. Maybe the line's bad. She's going to call back. Maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it's the wrong number. We do get those sometimes, you know?
It's like, hey, you're on the air.
Yeah.
What's up?
I know. But the burlesque, I mean, it's not considered like being in the sex industry or anything, like, mm-hmm. You know. But I think, you know, I mean, okay, so it's artsy and everything, but the only difference really in the level of dress is that they wear pasties and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in topless bars, they don't take off the bottom either, but they're considered strippers, you know.
Right.
So it is kind of like a borderline thing, I think, you know.
Yeah.
But they seem so classy, you know.
They really do.
Yeah.
Very passionate.
Yeah, I know. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Oh, you know what? Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? I just realized somebody muted this line. Okay. Hi, Annie. Good morning. Thank you for calling in.
You bet.
Yeah. I'm glad I noticed this because we could have been going back and forth on this
for
all
a while.
Morning if I didn't figure out the button here. But, Annie, good morning. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm from Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Beautiful place there, right?
Yes, lovely, and we're having good spring weather.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Have you lived there all your life?
No, I moved here in 96 to teach at Naropa University.
Yeah. And then
I taught in body psychotherapy. I was head of the body psychotherapy track for the master's in somatic psychology, which means body-centered psychotherapy practices.
Right. Annie, are you on a speakerphone? Because we can't hear you very well.
Is that better?
A little. A little better. Okay. Somatic therapy. Tell us what that is. That's very interesting. I never heard of it before.
Yeah, it's taking the memories that are stored in the body and how they influence the brain and responses and behavior. So often people think of therapy as telling your story, but actually the body records everything we've experienced. So it has a story whether we're conscious of it or not that impacts behavior.
Right. Wow. Yeah, very interesting stuff. So so now I'm looking on your website here. By the way, we're talking to Annie Brooke. The website is anniebrooke.com. And you can, I guess you've created the Brooke Institute. So tell us a little bit about the Institute itself. What is it that you guys do?
Yes, we really try to help people find relief. We work with adults, children, couples, and we look at what is underlying some of the behaviors that get us into trouble, whether that's anxiety, depression, sleep issues. Sometimes couples have bad habits that won't go away.
Right.
And we're looking at the earliest imprints in the body. Apparently, the brain starts recording whether the world is safe from a perspective of the body, starting in utero. There's
oh,
a part
wow,
of the brain
really?
That's awake even before we can think.
That's interesting.
Wow.
And this is like scientifically proven and everything, right?
It is indeed, yeah.
Wow.
So do
we're at a time of psychotherapy where neuroscience and clinical work are starting to come together. So therapists, we train therapists in the neuroanatomy of emotional triggers and behaviors and how to work to the place where the brain will re-regulate instead of dysregulate.
Wow. So how do you do this now? I mean, is this done by talking and like a traditional session with a therapist?
These are great questions. I'll try to paint a picture and be sure to ask me if it doesn't become clearer.
Okay.
Basically, what we're doing is listening for story because everyone will talk. That's part of a verbal dialogue and very important. However, we're asking people to notice as they're sharing information, how do they feel in their body? Do they feel tight in their stomach? Or do they feel anxious? Do they feel, oh, I've said this a million times. So there's a kind of hopelessness. So we're teaching clients how to track their own sensation and giving them tools. Part of psychotherapy, I believe, should be education because clients are smart. And the more I can give them tools that they can use in everyday life, and some simple tools are remembering to breathe, remembering to notice if your habit is to contract instead of move towards something. You know, if your habit is to puff up and get grandiose when maybe you could just relax and take in support. So we have people look at their own habits and then find other tools. And the story with the children, I'll use stuffed animals to represent early events that happened in a child's life and have the parents in the room. So it's a combination of storytelling, body listening, and adding new tools that clients can take home and practice so that they can change up their emotional experience and get new information deep into the brain.
Right.
When you say that things have been recorded even since before you could think, do you go back and look into people's past and what they've been through to try and see why they're acting a certain way now?
Yes. If they know it, we'll say, oh, do you know any stories about your birth or about your time? Basically, from 0 to 18 months is when the nervous system is laying down its first response tracks. We call this a perceptual response cycle. And sometimes our perceptions are actually inaccurate. And so later, if we've had a difficult beginning, we're less resilient under stress. And so our perceptions can even look for things that we survived, meaning, you know, I learned how to withdraw under stress, so I'm going to look for things that make me withdraw because I know how to do it. but that may not be very effective in current events.
Right.
So that's what we're looking for.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fascinating work because it's really...
It is.
So it's a dialogue with the client. We don't come in as the expert. We come in as the one who's curious.
Right. Now, you say you specialize in healing birth trauma for infants. So what's that mean? You're saying that the baby is going through trauma as they're being born?
Well, put it this way, because we don't certainly want birth to become a big pathology or something to carry around as a banner.
Right.
Most want people to heal and become resilient. Sometimes, viewed from the infant perspective, birth can be quite a trauma for the body-mind. The Buddhist sutras talk about birth as the crashing of mountains. So we know from eon of time it's a transition threshold. You know, it's a big event. The body, ideally, is supposed to be squeezed through the birth canal. And
right.
all that squeezing helps the body wake up and transition from being a fluid, watery world to being able to push against gravity, you know, extend through space, all those activities that an infant develops to help it become balanced in the world in terms of sensory input and the ability to respond.
Yeah.
And from the infant's perspective, they could be really scared, and the parents are just relieved that the baby made it.
Right.
It would be a C-section where, especially a emergency C-section, where everybody tried for that baby to come out, and then they needed help. And that was the right choice to make. We want our babies alive and well, but sometimes going back and repairing after a C-section can help a child really, really recover in a much easier way. Because if you start to listen from the perspective of the infant, they are airlifted out of their mom in a really fast operation.
Yeah.
And their body doesn't have the chance to adjust to all that.
Right.
Yeah, and so, again, I really want to highlight that it's not about creating more problems.
Yeah.
It's about finding the story underneath difficult behavior.
Mm.
And learning how to help the story finish itself.
Wow. So it's possible to do with children, too? I mean, they have a pretty good recall?
Yeah.
And ability to communicate.
They have helped me learn this work, actually, because they'll show me examples. I had one little girl who crawled behind a Japanese screen I have in the corner of my office, and she started pulling the soundproof tape off between the two rooms, and she was peeping up the cracks. The Japanese screen.
Uh-huh.
I was asking, what are you doing back there? And she goes, very important work. And then she would only let her mother come in.
Wow.
And when I thought about it from her perspective, that incision started a whole cascade, a C-section incision, where, you know, it was followed by a huge pressure change on her body because you go from a fluid world into a, you know, an air world. And it was so rapid.
So
for her to be able to feel safe again, she had to go back and re-find her mom.
Wow.
So this
she was 4 years old.
So this trauma is kind of when you get birth by a C-section and you kind of lose who you are. But how do you know when you're that young that you're going through that?
Well, you don't know you're going through that. That's why it's scary, because it doesn't really have a context.
Right.
All you know is, all of a sudden, you don't know where your mom is, if there's anesthesia, the mom can go numb, you know, sometimes the baby's taken away right away, and their first contact, instead of getting the pressure, there's in academic readiness, they talk about proprioception being one of the first building blocks for later academic readiness, and proprioception simply means that when we're squeezed, we can feel it.
Yeah.
When a baby squeezed through the birth canal, it helps them orient through the nerve functions of proprioception so they know where they are in time and space.
Sounds very interesting.
What your new books, The Birth Hidden Legacy Volume 1 and 2, do you go into that kind of stuff?
Yes, I have a reputation for being able to write very simply and clearly, and my interest is in helping parents and professionals, psychotherapists, be able to treat at deeper levels. and to help parents and couples and individuals get relief from long-standing issues. And so I've got a two-volume set. And the first set describes what are some of the experiences based from an infant perspective. And this is all taken from clinical research. I've been a psychotherapist for 35 years, and I've had lots of experience learning how to listen to clients and be curious what drives behavior.
Right.
And then volume two is set up for clinicians to really know how to treat and how to start training their own ears to be able to not just medicate or look for a behavior solution, which is sometimes important in a short term, but to get to the roots of internalized fear or hyperarousal, which means an infant placed in a nursery can be on a feeding schedule and they can develop a whole hyperarousal in response to their hunger needs.
Yeah. Wow, very interesting. So it's a deep topic here. Everybody go out, check out anniebrook.com. You can also find the books there. And
DVDs too.
Yeah, and a wealth of information here. So if you guys are interested in that, check it out. Annie is in Boulder. I imagine you can treat people all over, right?
Yes, we even do some online study groups based on the book to help therapists or parents. We're really trying to help people find this kind of relief from longstanding issues of depression, anxiety, sleep, or child difficulties.
Yeah.
And Sam, it's great that you just bring people in to be able to speak about things, because I think that really helps readers find information they might not know how to find in other ways.
That's true. That's why we bring fascinating people on the show, and you're one, definitely. So this is interesting, and I think it opens up a new topic to think about, because I think most people don't really think about that,
The exciting part is we don't think about it, but then it seems to make sense to a lot of people. And I see through my treatment how people really do heal.
Right.
Long-standing patterns, so I'm excited about that.
Wonderful. So you're doing something great for people. How long have you been doing this now, Annie?
For about 35 years, I got interested in this work, partly in my own journey of healing. I was born premature and put in an incubator, so I had a lot of recovery work to do, and I found great teachers, and I kept being curious. Little bits of information would guide me to a next step.
Great.
And one of the things that I learned is how well we can recover by repatterning the body and repatterning the body-mind.
Yeah. Well, sounds interesting.
Definitely.
Wow. And like I said, it's definitely unusual to think about that, but apparently it must work if you've been doing it for 35 years and people have come to you for help.
Yes, I have a good reputation and people seek me out, and I'm trying right now. My goal is to train therapists just because there's so much need. I have a full practice. I have to, put people on a waiting list, and I'd like people to get treatment and results as soon as possible. So I'm busy training therapists to learn how to work this way.
Wow, you're really helping people.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Well, Annie, thank you so much for calling in. You gave us something to think about now.
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Of course, and I think when people try traditional therapy and stuff, if it doesn't work, definitely consider this, because it makes sense. It really makes sense, So.
And the last thing I'll say, Sam, is it's very helpful for adopted children.
Adopted children, yes, I can imagine they go through a lot of trauma and stuff. And
even if we don't know their birth story, the body can relieve a lot of the pressure and the fears and the controlling behavior.
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's deep stuff. But if this can help you through life, it's definitely worth taking a look at. Annie, thank you so much again. All the best to you.
Oh, a pleasure. Thank you, too.
Of course. And everybody go to the website and get the books, too. And you said DVD also?
Yeah.
So, you can get all that and get a little more familiar with what's going on.
Birth's Hidden Legacy, and it's available through my website or on Amazon.
Great. Now, I'm just curious, where did you move to Boulder from? Where were you before that?
I moved to Boulder. I had been living in the Northwest for 16 years, and my husband passed away suddenly, so I moved to the desert for a while. I moved to Taos, New Mexico, and studied with a Buddhist Lama there.
Wow.
For a number of years. Cool. Yeah. And then I was invited to teach at Naropa University, so I moved up to Boulder from Taos, New Mexico.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. All right, Annie. Well, thanks again. All the best to you, and good luck.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just helps when the phone connection is better, but I didn't want to start calling back and forth here. It's crazy.
It got a little bit better.
Yeah,
it did. But that's an interesting subject.
It really is,
it's
you know?
Because you don't think when you have a C-section or something, you don't think that that would have an effect
right
on the baby.
And when you think about it also, I mean, they talk about the stress of the baby during, you know, in the birth canal and everything. So, I mean, imagine, you know, babies like so fragile when they come out and everything.
Right.
So imagine it must be stressful for them to go through that, you know, as the first experience of life, you know?
Seriously.
But what a miracle it is, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, when people say it's just like we're all cosmic dust, come on, man. There had to be some very intelligent thinking behind this, you know? And it's just, it's a miracle to create something out of nothing, something alive, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we've been given a gift, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Yeah.
The gift of life.
The gift of life. There you go.
It's a crazy place that we live in.
Yeah, I know. And we don't appreciate it, you know. But I mean, there's a reason why we're here, and people should just relax and take it easy and enjoy themselves and, you know.
Yeah, and just take a deep breath. Like when I was on the walking on the beach last night, I was like, wow, like I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Like I just sat there and I was like, wow, I have a really good life. And sometimes when things get on top of you, you don't. It's like too much, you know, but life, I don't know, everything happens for a reason, and
that's true.
Deep breaths.
That's the way you got to look
at
it.
Take in the air,
right? Exactly.
In the ocean. And
yeah, I mean, it gets you to stop thinking and live in awe, you know? I mean, you look at the big ocean and the open spaces and everything, and you realize, you know, what an amazing thing this creation is, you know. And sometimes we don't stop and smell the roses, you know. We just, we take it for granted. And,
definitely.
And people suffer unnecessarily. And, you know, I mean, you know, people try to impose their religions and their opinions on other people. Mm-hmm. And then there's war and torture and murder. And come on, you know, I mean, there's different ways we can live, you know.
Yeah, definitely. But world's at it. It can be a nasty place, but
yeah, it can. Mm-hmm. It can. You know, somebody posted a video on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it, of a woman getting stoned in like probably Pakistan or one of these places. I mean, they buried her halfway in the ground, and then they just start throwing rocks at her, and they don't stop until she's dead, you know. Ugh. And it's like, you know, I mean, what is this? You
and
know,
firstly,
I mean,
that
what could
happened.
She have done? You
and
know,
secondly, it was videoed and then put on Facebook,
right?
Like,
you know,
to go viral.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, you know, these are the things we don't know about. We don't see, you know, what people have to go through because of like convoluted religions and opinions that are like so stone age that you can't even make sense, you know. I mean, what could she have done that's so bad, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, if she murdered someone, put her in jail, you know?
Yeah.
What's why?
And
I mean,
that's
why?
The problem. People take it into their own hands.
Right.
They think that they should deal with it.
Yeah. And it's always men, too, you know? I mean, all these old farts that make the rules for everybody, and that's what I saw there, you know. It's always those men. I mean, you don't see women doing shit like this, you know. And maybe we should let women run the world for a while.
Amen.
I think it could be a good idea, you know. I don't know. I myself, I enjoy working with women, you know. I think I don't really have a preference with men or women. I mean, you know, I get along with both, but some men are just like so anti working with women.
And I think it's a good balance.
Yeah.
Because I've always been that person. I just get on with guys better than I get on with girls. That's just, I've always been like that since I was 12 years old. And I'm a girly girl, but I'm also a tomboy, and maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But I'm easygoing. It's just, so when girls and girls get together and guys get together, I think it's just a different chemistry when it's a female and a male.
Right.
And I think it just works better, especially in a business atmosphere. And
yeah.
If the male is Because some guys think that they're too good for,
right, yeah,
for the female to be a part of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's some ancient style thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I think when it's the same gender, people become competitive. Women
definitely.
Too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe women get catty. And it's almost worse because at least when guys get in fights, they punch each other and then it's done. Then it's forgotten about. Girls, it gets catty and bitchy and it gets drawn out. And when you get past a certain point, girls are no longer friends. They can't get over it.
Yeah.
Whereas guys, it's like, oh yeah, I hit you. Like, that's it. We're done. Like, friends again. But girls just aren't like that, you know?
They hold a grudge, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Terribly.
Wow. So there's a couple of interesting stories in the news. First of all, they're saying that coffee may reduce risk for type 2 diabetes, which sounds good. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you can drink more coffee. Do you drink coffee in the morning?
I do.
And how many do you drink during the day?
I don't. I just
you
drink
don't. Just
one, in,
one
the
in the morning.
But
that's what
I'm
I
trying
do.
Not to drink as much because I've been starting to get headaches when I don't drink it. And
yeah.
I don't want to get reliant.
Right.
So I'm starting to cut
out. But I think
out.
It's too late. Didn't you start drinking coffee from when you were young?
No.
Oh, really?
I didn't.
So it's a new thing.
No. And even when I swam,
uh-huh.
I didn't really drink coffee, which I should have because caffeine gives you an extra boost. Right. So I was kind of stupid there. but it's really since I've stopped swimming that I started to drink coffee. But I don't want to become reliant on the caffeine.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm trying to cut, like, only drink a couple cups a week.
Yeah.
But
I think once a day is not a big deal. You know, most people find that it helps them wake up and stuff.
And
know?
I remember my mom, I was little, she would drink, like, 5 cups of coffee a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think she still drinks a lot. It's tea. I think she drinks a lot of tea now.
Yeah. I know. The most I would have is two, maybe another one in the evening or something, you know,
yeah.
if I want to, like, relax or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, for the most part. So, but they're saying, you know, coffee, it's like always been, we've always been told coffee is not good. This is not good. Nothing's good for us, you know.
Nothing.
Yeah. Maybe eventually they'll find that cigarettes are good for us too, you know.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, maybe I'll end up living longer than everybody. So, yeah, so go ahead, drink coffee.
Do you remember that the story with the kid that went, that hid in the plane?
Yeah.
The father is saying that his son's a good kid.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, but I don't get it. Like, he said, our family was deeply concerned when my son went missing and we were relieved to hear he is safe, considering the circumstances of his trip.
Yeah. Good.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I'm sure you don't have to be a troublemaker to do that, you know?
I mean, you can't... No, like, if you're a really good kid,
right.
The last thing that comes into your mind is, I'm going to go on a plane. I'm going to sit where the bags are so no one can find me.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not even in the bags. It's in the wheel well.
Oh,
the wheels
sorry.
Are.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So
that's even scarier.
That doesn't even I feel like that doesn't cross so many kids' minds.
That's true. It does.
You know, like, yeah. You can't be that good of a kid if you, like, do that.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just desperate.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, maybe he's a genius or something. And
yeah.
he thinks, you know,
maybe.
Hey, I can get to Hawaii like this, you know.
His dad said, my son, like many immigrant children, is struggling adjusting to life in this country.
Yeah. Well, maybe
so
something snapped in him.
Go home.
Yeah.
But there's other ways. There's other ways. You don't have to sneak into a plane and go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie Titanic?
Yes.
Okay.
Love that movie.
I guess that's from 97, right? So you were pretty young when you saw it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you saw
I've
it later,
I've seen it so
right?
many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even went to see it in 3D. Came out in 3D.
That's true, yeah.
Like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I went to see it in the movies. That was the first time I saw it in the movie theater. It's a little bit too long for me.
Yeah,
I like
it's
catching
a long
it on
movie.
TV, like catching the first half or the second half.
Right, yeah. But yeah, at 97 you were what, like 7 years old?
Six.
6 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, yeah, my daughter was about the same age, so I remember she loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess at that age, 6, 7, you already understand what's going
yeah.
on, you know. So the reason I'm bringing it up is because I guess Kate Winslet says she's still haunted by the nude scene. you know. And I mean, I know that that was a scene I remember because she just looked luscious, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, obviously she was much younger back then and stuff. She looks still looks stunning, though.
Yeah, she does. She's
she really
beautiful.
Does, you know. And, I mean, at the time of the Titanic, people were teasing her that she's chubby and everything. But, you know, I mean, I don't think so, you know. I mean, somebody posted a picture on Facebook yesterday, this photographer that has been on the show. And so he always does, like, really sexy shoots with girls and stuff. And this girl was, like, so leggy. She had really long legs. But not only that, she was so skinny, Charlotte, that you go, she looks weird. She looked like a an ostrich or something. That's what she looked like, you know?
I thought you were going to say, like, she could snap.
Yeah, no.
But no, she looks
something
like an ostrich.
Like that. Yeah, I mean, just very long and thin, you know? Mm-hmm. Unusually so. And I thought, this is not attractive to me.
Yeah.
I don't like it that thin.
Too thin.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you want to see some curves. It's a woman. It's not a little girl,
definitely.
You know.
Yeah.
It's not like a boy's body. You want to see curves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, or at least definition and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I thought. So, you know, with Kate Winslet, I always found her attractive. Doesn't matter how much she weighed.
When she says she's haunted.
Yeah, it's like, apparently what happens is, thanks for reminding me, because that's what the story is about. I've totally digressed there. But the story is that I guess a fan handed her a picture, that picture from the movie, and asked her to sign it. And she said, you know, I don't sign that one. You know, it feels very uncomfortable. Why would you do that? So the thing is that, you know, you have to remember something, though, is that she decided to do it, you know?
Exactly.
And now she says, I didn't mean for it to be photographed that I would see 16, 17 years later.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the biggest movie that she's ever done.
Right.
It's so famous. It's so, the fact that she got to play and be in that movie, I mean, that's incredible.
Right.
I'm sorry. You guys got to suck it up, sign it, and deal with it.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, you don't pass up on something like that.
No.
Yeah.
And she gets haunted. Like, I'm sorry. No. So many people would have died to be in that movie.
Yeah.
They would have given up so much.
Exactly.
And she's complaining about a photo. I mean, if she looked really ugly or something, then it's like one of those photos. It's like, oh, no, that keeps coming up. But
right.
She looks stunning. She looks amazing. She's in beautiful shape.
Right.
Like,
and she, yeah, and she considers it to be a bad thing, you know? So I don't understand, but.
And there's no, in the media, I could see. Because in the media, sometimes they portray things as, oh, well, she is a whore or something like that, you know? Mm. But this is such a monumental movie that they would never do that. And it's so long ago that they're not going to bring that up and say, oh, yeah, look what Kate Winslet did. Like, no.
Right. Yeah.
So many people are doing that in movies now that.
Yeah, exactly. But you do have to understand that there's going to be consequences.
Exactly.
Anything that you do, you get recorded, you get videotaped, you get filmed. This stuff is going to last forever. So you got to think.
It's going to come
really
back and
hard.
Bite you in the ass.
Exactly, you know. And I wonder if the porn stars think about that at all. Because
I doubt it.
I mean, that stuff stays out there for life,
yeah.
You know.
I really doubt that forever. They think about that, though, when they're first doing it.
Yeah.
And then, but it's true. If you don't think about it after the first time, it's like, well, I've done
it's
it once
late,
now.
Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of too late. There's kind of no going back. But I think that's silly that she thinks like that this picture haunts her, because she looked incredible and it was such it was very beautifully done. Like, they did
it
in a great way. And I mean, it's just a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
How could anything to do with that movie haunt you?
Yeah.
And you got
artistically
to kiss
too.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
How could anyone complain when you get to make out with Leonardo DiCaprio in a movie?
I guess so. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. We are out of time. Time always flies with us, which
is
cool.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, absolutely. And are you going to be on AfterBuzz tonight? Should
yes,
people watch you?
I am.
Is it on every night? Five days a week?
No. Yes. It's on 6 days a week.
6 days
But
a
right
week.
Now I'm just on Mondays.
Okay.
4 o'clock, AfterBuzzTV.com. You can watch me live.
Okay, cool.
Shameful plug.
Yeah, we might as well.
Doing Jesse and Eric. And then at 5 p.m. I do Total Divas.
So you do two shows.
Yeah, I do two shows tonight. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if you guys can't catch that, you can go on their website or on YouTube and watch the stuff. So you can see Charlotte in her glory.
I have a YouTube channel. It's www.youtube.com /CharlotteBroadbentTV.
Oh,
and
awesome.
It has all of my everything I've ever done.
Really?
Well, most of the stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. And no nude photography in your past?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Thankfully, that won't be coming to haunt me.
Okay, good. All right. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Right here on LA Talk Radio.